Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar on this day in 1983, this was the number one song in America. Beat It. 1983 was really a great year for music, man. Duran Duran was coming up. Michael Jackson's Thriller was ruling. Men at Work. God, so much great stuff came out in 1983. I'm Scoot on the Air. I'm glad you're with us. So I read a really good article by Keith Spira at NOLA.com. It's about how he met Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam in court. Eddie Vedder had to go to court in New Orleans because there was some kind of a fight, some kind of an incident that happened, and he had to go to court. But Keith Spira explains that he really thought that Eddie Vedder would never be there and that he would send an attorney to continue it. But Eddie Vedder was there. And, you know, that's the sign of a good journalist. You know, there's no guarantee, but you still go thinking, what if he's there? Or there's a possibility. So I respect that. It's a good article. It's titled, I Went to Court with Pearl Jam's Eddie Vedder in New Orleans. It wasn't what I expected. So anyway, you can read that at NOLA.com. Interesting story. Also, remember, Wednesday at the Square is this afternoon. Ashley O from our sister station, Bayou 95.7, will be there. Eric Lindell with Sun Pie and Friends, presented by Abita Brewing Company, the Young Leadership Council, and WWL. Last hour, we called Paran's Po' Boy to wish him 50th anniversary. This week, they turned 50 years old, and still the roast beef po' boy is their most popular item. We've been talking about racism. We've been talking about profanity. There was a man shouting racist slogans, giving the Nazi salute on Decatur Street Sunday. He and his friends were kicked out of a bar. They had white power Nazi symbols on their bodies. They had on their shirts or their bodies. Anyway, it's just a sign of the racism that exists today. And then also, I'm reading about this national network of American neo-fascist fight clubs that are creating these clubs all across America. They're popping up everywhere, using fitness and sports to introduce young people, a new young generation, to being racist, teaching them about neo-Nazi ideologies and fascism. And, you know, look, I'm a white guy, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand this fear of other races, and that's what it comes down to. Let me start to get to some of your calls. Let's go to Judith in Madisonville. Judith, welcome to WWL. Thanks for hanging on.
Hi.
Hello, Judith.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yes.
I can.
I wanted to respond to your speech about racism.
Okay.
And I agree with you that we're not born with it. It's a learned behavior. And it's very simple why it keeps perpetuating is because it appeals to someone's ego. They perceive that they have someone to look down on. And it's not true, but that's how they see it. And they think it gives them an edge. They think they're in power. They think
so
it
when
makes
you when
them
you
look,
look
better.
when you look down on someone, then that's a way of making yourself feel better because you're looking down on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's an ego thing. It's an ego thing.
Yeah, I understand.
That's why you said you didn't understand. You didn't understand it.
When I say I don't understand it, I don't understand the need to feel that way. You know, I don't understand why people feel the need to look down on somebody in order to make themselves feel better. I think really one of the keys here is it is about ego. I agree with you. And I think the people who want to look down on people, many of them are not really that smart. They're not that intelligent.
Exactly.
And they know they're not that intelligent, and they know they're not that great, and they make themselves feel better because they pick somebody that they could look down upon.
Well, it could be their upbringing, maybe their parents, you know, or grandparents or whoever in their family made them feel worthless, made them feel they'll never be anything, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And beat down their self-esteem. And so now they grow up and they think that they have someone to look down on themselves. And to me, that's what it's all about. And we have to somehow put that fire out and make people realize that that's not correct.
Judith, you bring up a good point, and I'm glad you called and brought that up. And if you find yourself with an instinct to feel racist, ask yourself why. And if it's because you just need a subject to look down upon to make yourself feel better, I mean that's a pretty shallow way of making yourself a better person or boosting your ego. Let's go to Pierre in Metairie. Pierre, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Listen, I want to talk about language in general, not just profanity, but also bring in racism and hate speech, as you have done here. But I want to address profanity on TV first, the curse words on TV. You know, to me, profanity in general is a sign of crudeness, lack of self-discipline. But for a TV writer, to me, it shows no talent. Questionable intelligence, and certainly questionable vocabulary. Writers use profanity as a crutch for lack of talent. And I think as proof of this, as I see it, you look at the old sitcoms through history, the best, the ones that all modern sitcoms steal ideas from. Honeymooners, I Love Lucy, MASH, Seinfeld, Frasier. They have no profanity, and they are as funny without profanity as they would be if you tried to stick it in there. But you take a not funny modern sitcom, it is not funny because they found a way to add every curse word that they can think of.
But that sitcom is not on broadcast TV. That would have to be on cable. It would have to be on some streaming service. And you know, I don't watch any of those. I don't watch any of those sitcoms, so I'm not really familiar with profanity being used in sitcoms. But I'll trust you that it is used.
In streaming. I mean, it's drama and sitcoms. It is all over. And again, whether it's comedy or drama, I think it's a sign of lack of talent as a crutch.
You know, I disagree a little bit, Pierre. I mean, what I often say when somebody wants to comment on something that I've said, a video that I posted on Facebook, and they use profanity, you know, I often say that, using profanity is a lack of intelligence. So I kind of agree with that. But I think there is a role that profanity plays. And, you know, when it comes to the person who cuts you off on the interstate, there's that moment when you use profanity and, you know, it makes you feel good. And so I think that's an indication that it's kind of part of humanity.
I do agree. It's the moment. But you're not talking about the deliberate act of writing a script for a sitcom, whether it's broadcast or streaming. If you take all the profanity out, is it funny?
Yeah. I get that. I mean, if you took like one of the Eddie Murphy concerts that's like an hour and a half, if you edited out the profanity, it would be 10 minutes.
It's 15 minutes.
Yeah. I agree that sometimes it's a crutch. Okay, go ahead.
Hate speech. You're a guy. That idiot out there with racist slogans, et cetera. Personally, I think the U.S. Supreme Court made a mistake in prohibiting hate speech. I think instead all speech should be legal, even the most offensive speech. But we should recognize these as justifiable fighting words. And the Supreme Court has used that terminology. Some things are fighting words. And therefore, even though that idiot has a right to say what he says, we have a right to go and beat the tar out of him.
I mean, do you? I mean, if somebody says something and you beat him up, would you be protected by the law?
That's going to be my new rule. If he offends me, I have a right to beat the tar out of him.
Let me know how it works out, Pierre. Listen, I appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Bob in Nashville. Bob, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Thanks for clicking on me.
Sure. Thanks for calling in from Nashville.
I do all the time. I love sitting on my patio and spending the afternoon with you.
I appreciate
great
that.
Great topics.
Thanks.
And great show.
Sounds kind of gay, but yeah, I appreciate it.
Here's how I deal with people I encounter that are racist. And I refer to the number one best-selling nonfiction book for over 200 years. You know what that is, right?
Yep.
The Bible.
Yep.
Matthew 20:16 says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Now, Jesus explains that the first are those who are self-righteously assert their superiority, yet reject the Savior and his gospel. And the last are his humble followers who make great sacrifices for the gospel. And that kind of makes him stop and think about, that's racism in a nutshell. You know, here you are putting yourself up. You're like the one woman said, you do that because it makes you feel better. You know, you're putting yourself up on a pedestal and they're below you.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that quote, the first shall be last.
And, Bob, you're bringing up another interesting thing. Racist in general, white racists are predominantly Christians. And I think it's impossible to be a Christian and a racist at the same time. It's impossible.
Believe me, I'd call them a hypocrite to their face.
Yeah, it's impossible. You're not a Christian if you're a racist. So stop calling yourself
a
Christian.
One thing from one of your earlier callers that I thought of, having lived in New Orleans, when he brought up David Duke and the cancer, I said, that guy has been a cancer on society since he was a teenager and back at LSU in 1968. It's fitting, but it's bad to say, but that man was not a good man. And when you talked about the people on Bourbon Street, I said, oh my God, it's like a young David Duke walked out of a bar.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
I mean, same kind of, same rhetoric. When he got arrested at Jackson Square in 72, same stuff. Just crazy.
Bob, I appreciate the call. I agree with you. Jimmy from Gretna called in earlier with a couple of things, and he also said that he, some story out there, I haven't seen it yet, that David Duke has cancer and a short time to live. I loathe David Duke, but I don't want to wish cancer on anybody. I think what he believes is horrible. It's pathetic, sad. He has a right to believe those things in America, but I don't wish cancer on anybody. But if I were David Duke, I would not be preparing for when I pass away, when I leave this world. I would be preparing for very warm weather. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your calls. Also, we're going to get to some of your text messages coming up. So it's just fascinating that there's a far right-wing group that's trying to introduce a young generation to neo-Nazi ideology. It's a fight club. They are popping up across the country, these youth clubs. In fact, you might be watching out for this. If there's a group popping up in your neighborhood and they're teaching fitness and they're teaching martial arts, and so if it's a fight club, you might be aware of the idea that they might be part of this network of American neo-fascist fight clubs. And you might want to make sure your kids don't go. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, so really, I want you to be aware of these groups that are popping up around the country, and who knows, it might pop up in your neighborhood. They're using fitness and sports to introduce a young generation to neo-Nazi ideology. They're youth clubs. They're called fight clubs, but they're active clubs, and they're, again, using sports and fitness and martial arts to create these fight clubs, but they're really designed to introduce kids to neo-Nazi ideology. So be very much aware of that. All right, so you know about this big town hall tonight. We'll talk about it on the show tomorrow afternoon because, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we haven't really talked about the President of the United States on the show today, and I don't even want to mention his name because people get so PO'd if I mention the name. Even if I mention the name in a positive way, people, they're just upset. So, you know, it's interesting because if I totally ignored the President of the United States and never talked about him at all, the same people would be pissed about that. So, you know, again, some people are just not happy. But there's a News Nation Trump town hall tonight. And President Trump is going to be part of this, and it's about his first 100 days in office, moderated by Chris Cuomo from News Nation with Bill O'Reilly and Stephen A. Smith. And let me tell you, Stephen A. Smith was a sports guy. He has brilliantly positioned himself to now being somebody who talks about politics. He has been brilliant in moving from sports also into politics. And I don't know whether he did this consciously or subconsciously, but it was just really a brilliant marketing job for Stephen A. Smith to now be considered somebody who talks about politics. It's tonight, this town hall tonight with President Trump. It's 7 to 9. You'll hear it live here on WWL AM FM and WWL.com, also free on the Odyssey app. And we'll talk about that tomorrow afternoon. The President of the United States promised a pro-growth agenda that would be the envy of the world. So what's happened?
The U.S. economy shrank in the first quarter for the first time in 3 years amid the Trump trade wars. While GDP expanded 2.4% in the last 3 months of 2024, it shrank at a 0.3% annual pace from January to March. Imports surged into the country before President Trump's massive tariffs kicked in. The president inherited an economy that had grown steadily despite high interest rates. And while his erratic trade policies have threatened to raise prices, he insists the economy will roar back.
Bigger and stronger and better than ever before.
And a category within the GDP data that measures the economy's underlying strength did rise at a healthy 3% annual rate last quarter. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
And that prank call to Shedeur Sanders during the NFL draft last week has cost the Atlanta Falcons dearly.
The Atlanta Falcons have been fined $250,000 and defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich has been fined $100,000 as the result of Ulbrich's son participating in a prank call to Shedeur Sanders during the NFL draft. The NFL has confirmed the fines for the roles by the Falcons and Ulbrich in failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft. The Falcons, who disclosed the role of Ulbrich's 21-year-old son Jax in the prank call Friday, said Wednesday they accept the discipline. I'm Gethin Kulbaugh.
All right, we've got a couple of people on hold. Also, Coleman is going to get to some of your text messages here in just a few minutes. We just had a number of things going on. We've talked about profanity. Oh, wait here. Got a phone call here. Hang on, let me get this. Hello? Yeah. Yes, is he? Who? CNN? Wait, hang on just a minute. CNN? You want me to do a show? You're going to hire me to do a show? Which you, so, okay. So you like the fact that I'm a radical moderate and CNN's been too far left? Okay. Hey, that's really exciting. All right. Thanks.
What was that all about, Scoop?
It was Jax Albrick.
Really? What did he have to say?
He said, I'm going to be hired by CNN.
Congratulations.
Well, he's the same guy who called Sanders and said he was going to be drafted by the Saints. Yeah, thanks a lot for that, Jax. Too bad we can't find you for that. All right, let's get to a couple of calls and we'll get to some text messages. Let's see. Gerald is in Gentilly. Hey, Gerald, welcome to the show. Hello, Gerald.
Hey, you mean, yeah, Gerard?
Oh, Gerard. Okay, Gerard, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think you need profanity to be funny. I really don't. I mean, it could be, but if Saturday Night Live want to use profanity, they need to go to HBO or Showtime or something. Yeah. Now, I used to like comedians, but these days they think you got to use profanity to be funny. You know, every two, three words come out their mouth is the F-bomb, but yeah, that's not true. You got Sinbad. I challenge you to watch this one. Sinbad, where have you been? Funny, funny, funny. You got grandmothers, little kids, grandfathers, mothers, daughters, and little children. All of them having a good time because there was no person whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even Steve Harvey said, we'll go to a show and we'll try to use no cursing, none whatsoever. He did. It was a top-notch show on HBO. The rappers, all the rappers, the gangster rappers and, you know, all that stuff. You don't have to kill people in your songs and call women out their name. Take Will Smith, Jazzy Jeff. They made an album, and it was the number one album of the year. Sold 100 million copies or whatever. They won a Grammy. Will Smith stood up there in front of everybody. He said, I didn't call a woman out their name. I didn't call a man out their name. I used no guns, no pistols, no weapons. I didn't rob nobody. I used no profane syllables. And I won the Grammy, the number one album of the year. He raised it up over his head. He said it could be done. Everybody stood up, gave him a standing ovation, which is true. Very, very funny.
Gerard,
and
I really...
You don't have to use that.
Yeah, I appreciate those examples. You know, it's a challenge to be funny without dropping the F-bomb because, you know, in some ways, since it's still kind of forbidden, it's kind of still has a bit of a shock factor, not as much as it used to. But, you know, I do think sometimes comedians depend too much on that. Gerard, I appreciate the call. You know, and I look, I think the argument can be made. Saturday Night Live, look, I watch it almost every week. And some of the things are funny, but a lot of the stuff just isn't funny. And I don't think it's because I'm part of a generation that maybe they're not appealing to anymore. I mean, I think it was funnier in the past than it is now. I admit that some of the basis for the skits I don't understand. But there's other things that I do understand that just are not funny. So I think it's more than just not being able to use the F-bomb or the S-word. Saturday Night Live needs to work a little harder just being funny. Glenn is in Gentilly. Glenn, you're on the show, WWL. Welcome.
Hello, Scoop.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah, first, I didn't want to talk about it, but first thing, the last election shows you how racist this country is. And it's just, I don't understand it either. I mean, I'm in a interracial marriage for 51 years, so we met in college. But anyway,
Glenn, there were a lot of African Americans voted for President Trump.
Yeah, because that was racism too. That was reverse racism against black women. That's what that was about.
Yeah.
Because the problem with the black race is that we have too many of us that hate us. So we not like the Vietnamese where everything is, they take care of each other. We don't. We fight against each other. And that's the problem. That's why we've fallen so far. What we gained that we've lost so much.
You know, there are a lot of chauvinistic African-American men in this country. There are.
What? Now, what I called for, I went to the Cheech and Chong thing for you.
Yeah.
Those guys are still very popular, man. The line is almost two blocks long to get to see these guys. It must be about 300 people when I left
there. Oh,
wow. So I went in, they're in that little atrium area where they serve, where you can go eat, the little dining area they have, where you serve walking in the Rouses.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I don't mean to be crude, but they look like two people that were on leave from the nursing home.
Well, they've matured a little bit.
I didn't realize that Tommy Chong was in his 80s, and Cheech is in his late 70s, like 78, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And of course, I got something on my brain, an F on my brain, and I shouted in the room. I said, "Hey man, look out! Immigration is outside." And Chief jumped a little bit, you know.
that's funny. That's funny. Well, Glenn,
I wanted to say, man,
I appreciate the update on that. Yeah, Cheech and Chong were at the. In fact, I think they're still there. They might still be there right now at the Rouses on Carrollton, promoting this THC product that they're behind and promoting a movie. And it's cool that those guys were in town. In fact, Jimmy from Gretna called us with that a little bit earlier.
Okay, I just want to disagree with Glenn on one thing. All the black people that I know, black men that I know that voted for Trump, they did it for financial reasons. At least that's what they told me. Yeah. So I would say it wasn't because of the hatred of their own race or the hatred of black women. They really thought that Trump could help them out economically and financially. It had nothing to do with their.
But there are. I mean, look. African American men are just like, you know, white men, just like any other men. I mean, there are chauvinists among them, and so, you know, they can be chauvinist against black women. Some of them, of course, not all of them. Coleman, when you look at me, and I'm a white guy, I mean, do you look at me as somebody that was maybe given every opportunity in life? I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot here.
Let me preface this by saying that I do not speak for all black people because I always
understand.
Get black. All right. So one of the things that I always hated was when black people would tell me that there are going to be certain doors closed to me because of who I am. And I know at a point in time that was probably true. But I think modern, like right now, today in 2025, and I mean this from my heart, there is nothing that any man or any woman from any other race can do that I cannot. And to suggest that there's something that I can't do because of who I am, because of how I was born or where I was raised, I'm personally insulted by that. Because I mean, even if I was born behind the eight ball, even if I was raised, you know, without the head start or arrow, I still feel like I have the ability to do anything that I want to if I applied myself correctly. I know how to navigate this world. You know, I understand that there are races out there. There are people that have their little favoritism or sexism, little isms, but I believe in my heart that I have the capability to overcome all of that if I applied myself. And I'm never going to use my race or my sex or my station in life as an excuse to say I wasn't able to do this or do that. So that's how, so I don't, even though, like you said, I believe that, not all white people were privileged, like financially, or they have a station in life, but I still believe no matter who you are, you can do something that you put your mind to if you apply.
You know, I love what you said. I have respected you before you even said that. I respect you even more now. And everybody should feel that way. And one of the things that I've talked about a lot on this show, because I can relate to it, because I was not given opportunities until I became somebody. But I fought for those opportunities in the beginning because I was nothing. And there were people in the business that constantly told me that I wasn't going to go anywhere. And when I switched from music radio to talk radio, you're not going to make it. Well, I've been doing talk radio longer than I was doing music radio. So no matter who you are, you have to fight. You have to fight for opportunities. And not everybody gets every opportunity they want. There were many opportunities I didn't get throughout my career. And I was pissed. Now, I couldn't blame it on my race, but there were other reasons why I didn't get those opportunities. So we're all denied opportunities that we want that we don't get. And you just have to keep fighting. And if you don't get the opportunity you want, you fight for another one. But Coleman, I love what you said. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. When we come back, let's get to some of the text messages. All right, I'm Scoot. We're coming back with more, and you know, we're talking about these neo-Nazi fight clubs. They're trying to teach young people to be racists. Yeah, I'm gonna knock you out. I'm gonna knock you. You're not the color of my skin. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. And that's another reminder that racism is taught. Children do not come out of the womb racist. They're taught to be racist. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
And it was true and authentic. I really do feel that way.
On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1960, Fats Domino recorded Walkin' to New Orleans on Imperial Records. The song sold over 2 million copies and would climb to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Let me share a couple of texts here about comments that Coleman just made. Here's one that says, good for you, Coleman. Here's one that says, thank you, Coleman, from a 56-year-old black man who has always lived that way. Here's one, as a white man, Coleman for president, loved the attitude of him not letting barriers prevent him from his goals. Yeah, I mean, I think it's so sad that so many people have been given the excuse that they're not going to make it because of their skin color. You know, you're not going to get every opportunity you want, but you got to fight for every opportunity you get. And if you don't get one opportunity, go for another opportunity. I have a couple of texts to share with us. Wait, Coleman's on the other line. Ian's off today doing the business in the office, so Coleman's our studio producer. Got a couple of other texts?
Yeah, so this texter does have a point. I said last segment that, you know, the black men that I know that voted for Trump didn't do it out of spite for women is or hatred for black women. They was looking out for themselves financially. And this text says, well, you know, I agree with the last caller. Black men lost the election for Harris, and I personally know black men who refused to vote for her. So, yeah, maybe there were some black men that didn't feel comfortable with Kamala Harris being president, maybe because she was a woman, not necessarily because she was black. So I do think, but the ones that I know personally, they did it for financial reasons.
I understand, yeah.
This text says, black people hate black people. Just look at the crime rates on black-on-black crime, and jealousy is the main culprit.
Well, look, you can't make a general statement that black people hate black people. But look, just like with whites, I mean, not all whites like each other. Not all blacks like each other. I mean, this idea that we're all together as one, no matter what group you're in, is ridiculous. And you know, I think groups become diversified as society becomes diversified.
But to that Texas point, I guess it is more of a jealousy thing, because if you see somebody that looks like you and they are able to do things that you feel like you can do, there is what is this guy doing that I'm not doing? So it's not necessarily a hatred, but I would see not a hatred for their race, but a hatred that here's somebody that looks like me, acts like me, in the same neighborhood as me, but for some reason he was able to get ahead. So I can see the jealousy aspect.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, white people live with that too.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what I was saying. It's not a race thing. It's a jealousy thing.
There are women who look just like me who are, you know, further along than I am.
Let me grab this call.
All right, go ahead and grab the call, and we'll go ahead and get to a break here. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1977, this was the number one song in America, Southern Nights by Glen Campbell. This song was written by Alan Toussaint, a very famous singer, songwriter, producer here in New Orleans. Number one in the country on this day in 77. And I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Yeah, we're halfway to the weekend, Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot. Glad you were with us this afternoon. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about some of the things that are said during the News Nation Trump Town Hall tonight, which you can hear here on WWL from 7 to 9. Also, I want to talk about this principal, Brandon Sorensen, who was fired from visitation of Our Lady's school. He was fired for having a child out of wedlock, but the school accepts children born out of wedlock into the school. Is there some hypocrisy here? We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Sports Talk is coming up next. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, studio producer today, Coleman, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Court DP. And I always thank all of you for being part of our show. Also join me on Scoot on the Air Facebook and Instagram. I'll post another video after the show today. All right. Have a great afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.